It's the Green Umbrella Marketing Social Snippet Show.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Social Snippet Show. This week, we are joined by Susan Tracy from LifeWorks Consulting. Now, Susan does loads of work with businesses up and down the country, helping them to work on their team dynamics, make their team stronger, and really help to kind of understand how people within your business, how you can all get the best out of each other, really. So the work she does is just so valuable. I actually used Susan's services earlier this year. I was doing some sort of reflection. What kind of a leader am I? And, do I play well with others and that kind of stuff? And Susan did a personality assessment on me, which was really, really interesting. Got me a bit defensive in places, maybe. And in other places, I was going, no, that's not me. But it was really interesting. And what I wanted to do was kind of share that with the team. And I haven't done to date. So in this episode, Susan joins us and she takes the team through kind of the key points of my personality assessment to see, you know, did they agree? Do they think that these are behavior traits that they recognize in the way that I communicate with them? And also to see their responses. So I very much felt like I put myself in an uncomfortable situation. And if you watch the live stream over on Facebook, you'll see there's a few moments where I have to say, my body language changes and I'm kind of like sinking under the desk or, you know, kind of thinking, oh my God, what are they going to say to this bit? So it was really interesting. We've had loads of feedback following the live stream where people have really enjoyed it. And, a couple of emails taking the mickey out of me a little bit, maybe because of some of the stuff that was shared. But yeah, like I said, I really enjoyed this one, even though it made me feel uncomfortable. Have a listen. And I hope you enjoy it too. Hello, we're live. It's Green Umbrella here for this week's live lunch. So every Thursday at 12 noon, we jump onto Facebook Live. We're broadcasting live on LinkedIn as well. And this is your opportunity to just hang out with us for 45 minutes to an hour, get to know us as a team a little bit better. Sometimes we're going through, sort of every couple of weeks, we go through sort of latest updates that we think are most important to our client base in terms of social media and that kind of stuff. And then on the alternate weeks, we like to get a guest to join us and bring you something a little bit different. So this week, we've got Susan Tracy joining us from LifeWorks. Hi, Susan. I'm really excited to have Susan on. But I'm really going to try this week to not say too much because Susan's done some work with me on kind of like, you know, personality assessments and profiling and that kind of thing. And Susan's got some real in-depth knowledge on me. Essentially, the team are going to pick her brains about, and I need to kind of like not get defensive and like look at my body language already. My arms are crossed, and I'm like hunching down. So we'll see. But Susan, tell us a bit about yourself, okay, and what you've been doing, the work that you do. Yeah.
Okay. Well, basically, I've 30 odd years in the recruitment industry. And for the last sort of 15 or so years, I focused mostly on the development of the people within the business. And I got a lot of enjoyment, if you like. And I realised my passion came from working with people and helping them work better, adapt different work styles, improve their interpersonal skills and behaviour skills. And so when I decided to set up on my own and set up LifeWorks, that's the arena that I focused on, really. And a key tool that I use with that is the insights profiling, which I've done with Christina. And I have to say that she's very brave, sort of opening it up. I mean, usually when people have had their insights profile, which is a preference-based profile, and it helps you understand your own behaviour and communication style, so as you can then understand that and then adapt and work with other communication behaviour styles in your team. So usually somebody does that, and then in a closed environment, we share the information in a sensitive way with the team. So it's quite unusual for somebody to be brave enough to just open their profile up and let the team go live with questions about it.
Well, I figured I'm kind of, yeah, I'd like to say I don't keep any secrets. So, yeah, and, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, I think it's really interesting. I think that the work that you do is, and I know some of the teams you've worked with have had fantastic results, and it's seen some really positive change in their businesses. So, yeah, why not? I always say social media and Facebook especially is something that you should use to kind of create that fly on the wall experience. So, yeah, let's do it and hope we've still got a business at the end of it.
Yeah, because, I mean, with this, we're doing, you know, we're talking here today directly with your team, but your communication style and the way that you do your business is really relevant for your clients anyway, for them to understand you. So sharing it with them, why not? Okay, so I mean, just to give you some background into insights, it is a preference-based profile. So Christina had to fill in a number of, a large set of questions and to come out with her profile. And it's all around Jungian psychology. So it's based on really solid stuff. And it tend, you know, people then tend to come out, they come out with a profile that gives them and shows them to have a tendency towards extroversion or introversion and towards a thinking sort of way of making decisions or a feeling way of making decisions. And then you get your profile and your overview. So I thought what might be fun would be to just read out the first sentence of Christina's profile and maybe ask what the team thinks, see if they can identify that with it.
I feel nervous for Christina. I don't know why. I feel like it's me.
So Christina's personal style, she's practical, systematic, thorough and hardworking. Christina likes everything to be stated clearly and simply. Discuss. How do you feel about that?
I don't want to go first.
Go on, Mark. You look like you're brave enough to go.
Yeah, I'd say that's fairly accurate, I think.
Yeah.
No, I mean, if you take some of your emails, that's direct.
Okay, very to the point.
Which we have discussed before. That's not an old one.
Because I think something that came out very clearly in Christina's profile was her propensity towards organisation and things being done correctly and knowing what she's talking about before she launches into something and having the information before she makes decisions so she can make a fair and balanced and even decision. So not usually a rash rushing in there and right, this is what we're going to do. So, and can you recognise that in the team?
Yeah. It's definitely very analytical.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, sort of figures, stats, that kind of thing. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you don't get away with in the morning thinking, oh, it's that meeting, I'll just throw some figures at her and she's there. You've got to prepare.
It depends. I think there are times that when Christina's so busy, she has to compromise and can't have all the information. That just goes with the territory.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's probably something you learn and adapt to do. The only thing that is making me smile slightly is when Christina gets distracted by the kind of, oh, that's shiny, you know. Okay. So have you ever seen the film Up with the dog? I think it's Up. The one with the dogs that get kind of squirrel.
So that's quite interesting because that wouldn't, when you look at her actual profile, that wouldn't be the natural thing she would do. But what she's doing there clearly is there's that opportunity. She's spotting an opportunity and she's able to adapt to that, I think.
I think behind closed doors, Christina, you are more analytical and in the numbers than you possibly give away.
I feel very, if there was one thing that I would say is not my strength, it's the numbers. And I probably overcompensate for that reason. So, you know, when we look at running the business, I mean, you guys have seen some of them, but you know, I probably have about 22 spreadsheets that are all telling me the same thing. But because the first spreadsheet might not be good enough, I've actually got another version and another version and another version. And I have an idea and I'm like, will that work? Well, actually, I need to put a spreadsheet together to make sure that, you know, everything adds up. So, yeah, totally. I have to be there with the data. And I think with my approach to stuff as well, I'm quite often saying when it comes to the social media stuff and KPIs, the vanity metrics I really don't care about. They are vanity metrics. Yeah. What matters is actually the outcomes that we're achieving, and therefore, like when we're doing reviews with clients, that's the stuff I find interesting. When we're talking about how many extra follows we've got on a LinkedIn company page, or what's been the most popular post because it's reached this many people, that stuff actually bores me, because there's, you know, what we learn from that is limited. It's not telling us if the overall strategy is working. Yeah. So, definitely.
And it's funny because actually there's on the indicators, one of the key things that it does say, that in fact probably your top strength on the indicators, is meeting clients' needs. And that sounds like what you're saying there is, well, all the information, it's what we deliver that's important. Are we delivering the right thing for our clients?
I think it was interesting what Christina said about the spreadsheets, because I did, until recently, I didn't know sort of how many spreadsheets Christina had. We were sat in a meeting and she was like, oh, I have a spreadsheet for that. And then she just got it out. And I was like, before that, I'd never really thought of you, Christina, as someone that had all these secret spreadsheets, but now I do. So it's quite funny. And also the thing that you were, what was it you were just saying? So you were talking about the spreadsheets and there was something else I wanted to say and now it's gone out of my head. I don't know, it's gone, it'll come back to me. Anyway, yeah, the spreadsheets is something that I didn't know about until probably early this year.
But it's interesting when you were talking at the beginning, Christina, about the spreadsheets, you did say, you know, I'm not very good with numbers, but I think, you know, in this profile there is a sentence somewhere which I was just looking for that does say you'll tend to underestimate your own ability with something, and the spreadsheets thing is just your way of saying, well, no, this is right. You know, I've got all these spreadsheets here, so I am right. So you're probably underplaying your ability there, I think, that you know, because if you're not good with numbers, you can't read a good spreadsheet. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
That's true.
And something that I did put here, which was I thought might be interesting to share, was there's a page in the Insights profile, because obviously Insights is all about initially you getting to know yourself. So Christina's read it, she understands your communication behavior style, but then it's about effectively communicating with other people and you communicating better with her. So there's a few tips here, so I'm wondering which ones you might be interested in. So ensure she has all the facts she needs before pressing her for a decision. Expect her to come back later for clarification and give her advance notice and time to prepare. So I don't know how true those things ring.
I think so. I think, what was the second one?
Expect her to come back later for clarification.
Yeah.
So she'll take everything in.
I do think that quite often.
Yeah.
I think if I send you something that's quite an in-depth email, sometimes you'll say to me, oh, let me just read through that and I'll give you a call about it tomorrow. So I think you're obviously going away and thinking about it or looking into it or something before you come back. So I definitely do agree with that one. What was the first one again? Sorry, Susan.
The first one was ensuring she has all the facts before pressing for a decision.
Yeah, I think that too. I think, again, that's something that I wasn't really fully aware of probably until you took the role as MD, just because of what I was saying about all the secret spreadsheets and the thing, like the behind the scenes stuff that obviously goes on, that I didn't realise that you were obviously sort of involved with before you took that position. But I think that's definitely true. I think you'd like to be fully prepared. It's sort of the conversation that we've had before as well about going into doing sort of webinars and that type of thing. I know you're more comfortable with them now because obviously you do them quite a lot, but I'm the sort of person, I think, obviously I haven't had the profile, but I think that I'm quite similar in that way, that I wouldn't like to go into an unknown situation without being prepared. And I think we're quite similar in that sense. I think you're definitely, especially when it comes to presentations and unknown situations that you're, that you don't sort of do regularly.
And I think that's the interesting thing as well, though, about the, you know, the profile. So you're saying that you have a propensity to want to be really well prepared. So I could do that profile with all of you, and you may all have that preference. You may all be in a similar place on what they call the wheel with the insights, but some of you will have a higher score on that. So Christina's with her reading 20 spreadsheets, somebody else maybe 3 could be good enough, but then there could be other people who I would put myself in that that category, that a spreadsheet brings me out in a rash, you know. You know, so I'm pretty much opposite where Christina is, actually. And that's where it can be good having different approaches within the team, because the spreadsheet says all of this, but actually this is what we're going to do.
If I had to pick out people that really like spreadsheets in the team, I'd pick Christina and Jane. So Jane loves the spreadsheet.
That's why Jane's my favourite.
What was it that I said about this being our last live lunch?
It's going to be a short one as well.
Well, some other things that I've picked out in here is, I mean, obviously the day-to-day planner goes without saying, you know, with the spreadsheets, but fiercely loyal to her friends and her colleagues. And I would say, I could, you know, since working and knowing Christina, I found that, as, you know, another businesswoman, that she is loyal. She really tries to. And can, do you get that working in there?
100%, definitely.
Yeah.
I think if, you know, if she says she's going to do something and she's there and she will do it, and you know you can rely on her as a client and an employee, I think, definitely.
Yeah.
If don't agree with her, then she's like, you're dead to me.
I have to admit, I'm like squirming, thinking, like, I need to keep my body language, like I'm taking, like, you know, like I'm receiving the compliment, and really I'm like, oh god, that makes me feel really uncomfortable. Yeah.
There is something in your profile that does say that whilst you may appear not to, I can't find it quite now, but if I see it in a minute, I'll say it. But you may appear not to want compliments, but actually, if people give you accurate and evidenced feedback and compliments, that you really value that. Yeah. So, whereas, you know, if they're just like, oh, you're great, in your mind, you'd be thinking, well, what's great? You know, you want the evidence there.
I need to remember that for the next time we need to suck up to Christina. She needs the evidence.
We'll come up with a checklist, don't we? Or a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
A spreadsheet.
Here's a pie chart of all the clever things you've done.
Well, that actually, I've got one of the pages here, and it's this. I've written at the top, the insights don't call it this. It's things about communicating with Christina that you shouldn't do. So I've written it, I've called it top tips. Let's read some of these and see if you think, I've done that and it doesn't go down well. Go to a meeting with her without adequate facts and figures. Get too excited or emotional. Ask lots of questions in quick succession. Try to rush her into a decision. Invade her personal space. What's she like with personal space? What are you like with that, Christina?
Awkward.
Are you enjoying the social distancing?
Oh, do you know, I'm actually loving it. Yeah. I can't wait for everyone to come back into the office, but at the same time, it's an absolute delight being in here on my own.
Okay, right.
But it's funny, it's like, I'm not a hugger. I'm definitely not a hugger.
No.
But there are there's a core of people that, you know, we know within the recruitment space, sort of other sort of suppliers, service providers into the recruitment world, that when we catch up, we're all hugs and kisses, and you know, there is no personal space, but it's kind of like, actually, you've got to be allowed in first to be within that.
Yeah, in the circle. Well, that is your hashtag, Cuddly Christina. So Paul Green from BizCom is with us again today, and he's just reminded us of that hashtag, Cuddly Christina.
It should be hashtag Cuddly Christina occasionally.
On her terms.
Yeah.
And it's funny because with regards to you know, the profiling. How people deal with lockdown and the different changes, depending on your personality and your preference, you are going to deal with it differently. You know, I've really struggled with working from home and not having just somebody to even stand next to the kettle, you know, even if there's just somebody stood there to say hello to. And I've really struggled with that. And then I spoke to somebody the other day and they went, oh, this is just perfect. I could just do this for life. And that, you know, that comes out in your profile. So it's then, if you've got a team of you, are any of you missing being in the office? Are you missing that?
No, I think that's an interesting point, because I like to think of myself as quite sort of personable and friendly. But I do also, I'm quite similar in Christina in that I can get awkward in certain situations with personal space. And Mark knows this because he always comes over to my desk and I always move over. He thinks I'm being really rude, which I'm not. I'm not being rude. But I think it's just, I don't know, certain things I just get a bit awkward. So kind of in the same way as Christina, it's like I have quite enjoyed it because you haven't had that awkward situation at the end of meeting someone going like, oh, should I hug them? Is this weird? I don't know. Maybe it's me overthinking things. Maybe I'm an overthinker. Maybe that's my problem.
Maybe, yeah. But we do all have our own boundaries when it comes to personal space. And it is very much linked to your preferences, really. You know, some people are very comfortable with somebody sitting right next to them as soon as they see them. You know, you see it on the train, don't you? Some people don't want somebody else to sit next to them. And other people like, oh, yeah, and then they start talking straight away. It's just different personality types. Yeah.
See, I can't bear that.
I've missed hugging people. I'm going to start hugging strangers in the street soon.
I am in a really good mood for people to chat to me. Other times I'm just like, just
especially in the morning. I'm quite chatty throughout the day, but first thing
in the morning,
I will not say a word.
You need your caffeine shot.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm just looking on here. Yeah, so the invading personal space is quite a big one, actually, for Christina. And putting her on the spot, don't put her on the spot in front of other people. You know, so if you know, can I take that holiday tomorrow, Christina, in front of everybody else? We're like, oh, no, don't do that now.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I think, well, maybe it's again because you've had to adapt.
Because
you do when, you know, I think everyone's been in situations in work, I know I have, where you have to adapt what would be your preference and personal style to suit the situation and suit the people around you. So,
yeah,
I think you cope really, she copes really well with that.
So people kind of don't like the phrase fake it till you make it. But I think there's a lot of stuff. So things like that, you know, I know I've been at meetings where perhaps the person speaking's had to cancel last minute or something like that. And they're like, okay, Christina's here. Christina, can you do something? And it's like, literally, I've just had to come up with something on the spot because I don't have the balls to say no in that situation because I've been put on the spot. And I think that I actually feel very uncomfortable with it, but I've just kind of had to pretend like, yeah, of course I can do that. That's no problem. And just dive straight in. And so it is that it's been, I think the more aware you are of this stuff, the more you can overcome those uncomfortable situations and have sort of tactics to help you manage them.
And I think
that's where all your preparation.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say that's where all that preparation. So you're talking about having the facts and being prepared. That's your like comfort blanket. Basically, it's like, well, I can be confident and make the decisions on the spot because I've done all the research and I've got all the facts and figures. And thinking about it, when we do put Christine on the spot, even little things like holiday or even when we're kind of doing something more strategic, if you've got all your tools around you, like the whiteboard, your journal, the notebook, the spreadsheets, we're right into it. Let's check the charts, all the rest of it. Whereas if you're, you know, if you're at home, for example, when we do our morning catch-ups, if you're at home and you haven't got the stuff you need because it's on your desk, then you're like, I'll have a look when I get in the office.
Yeah.
So as long as you've got the stuff, as long as you've got stuff with you, you're all
set.
It
was like our meeting the other morning, wasn't it? So there's a few of us taking annual leave next month. So obviously we had this meeting to try and ensure that everyone could cover one another and everything was sorted. And first thing Christina said in that meeting is, oh, I should have gone in the office. I haven't even got my whiteboard here. I've got everything written on the whiteboard. And I was like, damn it, we need the whiteboard.
Oh my God, Emily. I didn't even clock that.
You didn't say that, didn't you? That's literally the first thing you said.
You're going to have to take photographs of the whiteboard everywhere now, Christina.
I took a photograph of the flip chart the other day and sent it to Amanda.
Well, that's a good point with Amanda saying, though, I like the phrase you use there, the comfort blanket. So, you know, having all that information there is Christina's comfort blanket, really, you know. That's interesting. But there will be other, you know, and you may come across this, and where it's interesting as well to think about is with clients. You know, you may have clients who, I might be one of those, Mark, when you're trying to get information out of me, I'll just give you this, oh, well, sort of this, or maybe that, or something like that. Whereas other clients will come and be very, maybe factual about what they're looking for. So you being able to adapt to that, it's key, really. Yeah.
See, that's an interesting one, though, because if you go back to Christine, she gives me really random things to work from sometimes. So I will get a sketch that I'll be going, what's that? So, yeah, it works both ways.
I think that links to the shiny things, though, that Amanda was saying. It's something, if Christina has loads of time to plan, she'll do it really in depth. She'll be like, this is exactly what I want. But if there's something that comes up and she's like, we need to jump on this straight away, you'll get some, like, ridiculous sketch that only Mark can make sense of.
We were in a meeting a few weeks ago and Emily was trying to explain something to me over Zoom, and she said, hold on a minute, I'm going to draw a crap sketch like one of yours. Only she didn't say crap. She said something else.
I know, I never.
Yeah. Well, the insights profiling doesn't help in any way with your ability to draw things. Definitely doesn't help. Understanding your profile won't help you there. So one thing on here as well that just I don't know. Did we talk about key strengths, the setting high personal standards of performance? So. These are things that might make you squirm a bit, Christina, because these are your strengths, the things you excel. So, curious and keen observer of life. I mean, I can see that from the outside. Sets high personal standards of performance, pays great attention to detail, supporting, steadfast and encouraging of others. Her word is her bond, strong sense of duty, trustworthy. She's logical and works really well on tasks as well as with people. And she's a great day-to-day planner. Those are all things that are sort of strong strengths of Christina's. Do you see them coming out?
I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with those. Yeah, I think so. I think it was Christina that got me into my daily planner because she likes her daily planner. And then she said, well, do you want one for you? And at first I was a bit apprehensive because I thought I wasn't really the sort of person that would write in it every day. But actually, I love it. And if I'm going into the new week now, if I haven't written in my daily planner, it's a nightmare. And I get so stressed about it. And I think I'm not prepped for the following week.
Yeah.
So I kind of blame that on Christina, but it is helpful.
It's helpful, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And as a team, that helps you work together as a team, because you can be more adaptable then, can't you? You know, if you know if you've got a gap, you know if you've not got a gap. I don't know if that's where that comes from.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's definitely helped me 100% since I've started it. And it's something that we use as sort of a review process. So when we have like one-to-one meetings with Christina, there's a section in those daily planners that's sort of a review of yourself, I guess, and your skills. And I guess kind of to begin with, I found that really difficult. And I thought how to write sort of positive like strengths about myself and stuff like that. I found it quite hard, but once we'd gone through sort of one review and Christina sort of said, oh, this is what the bits that you need to update and these are the kind of things that you can write, it's really good as like a reflection tool, I think.
Yeah.
And it definitely helps keep me focused and know what I need to do. And like I said, if I haven't done it, I don't feel prepped for the following week. And I think that's definitely something that I've got from Christina, because I know she does it.
Yeah, and it's interesting as well with just talking about the personality side of it. If you do your planners, I mean, I don't know from how you all work it, but are any of you people who, you know, you love to tick it off, scribble it out, highlight it? I don't know. 100%. What do you tend to do with your planners?
So I use it mainly on like a list basis, so it's divided into different sections, sort of urgent, not so urgent, et cetera, et cetera. And I definitely tick it off. I have satisfaction when I tick it off. So sometimes if something isn't on my list, I write it and then tick it off straight away because I'm like, oh, I've done something now. But yeah, again, that's something that I've picked up on, I think, from Christina, because I didn't do that before.
Yeah, and that gives you a good sense of achievement. Is anybody like, I love to highlight it or delete it once I've done it, or how
deleting do you tend things, being uncluttered is quite nice.
Yeah, yeah. So they're all, both of those that you're talking about tend towards, you know, you being very organised people and probably sitting fairly close to where Christina is on, you know, in the insight. So it'd be interesting to see where you were actually. But then other people, you know, they do the list and they do the plans, but they're far more random.
Even though I'm actually really organised, I am also really random. I hate having a to-do list in one sense. I hate having a planner. I've got my planner and I do it because we're trying to do it. And I've got another to-do list. And then I've got a piece of paper on a pad here where I've written some other stuff. Yeah. And I'll start something and while I'm in there, I remember something else. So I do that too.
But yeah. I would say Jane is the most organised of everyone.
Yeah, see, I would say that as well, which is weird because you have multiple lists. But I feel like if there's anything that I don't know, like if I have an organisation thing or something, I'll be like, oh, Jane would have already organised that. I don't know why. I just
think, I organise everything to the nth degree. I just do it in a weird scatterbrain. All at the same time kind of way.
And that's it really. There isn't one way really of doing things. And I think it's being adaptable with stuff. You know, in your business, I bet you'll be aware of that with clients. You'll have clients who will be quite random in the way they give you information. But actually they know what they want, they know what they're doing, and they're very organized, but in a different way maybe than you.
We have two types of client. We have the clients that when you send in an email and there's a list of three things they need to do, they're able to do all three things for us. And then we have clients that you send them that same email with three things to do and they can only see one. And literally it's like every client we have, it's like they either they can cope with the list or they can't.
One idea at a time, one concept at a time.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it's good that you can identify that. And it could be that they can deal with it, or actually they're just picking what they like. So they're things that they want to do. Because again, that's, you know, that's a personality preference. And people look at things and the thing that they see that they want to do, that's the one that they'll pick to do. So with those kind of clients, maybe a trick is to send them the one that's most important or that you feel is most important first.
Yeah, I was laughing because I was thinking of, I always moan at Mark because he has a to-do list and he'll do number 10 before number one.
Or I'll just have a separate list that's not attached to the to-do list.
But the point is, it's like, Jane, you do always get it all done. It's just sometimes in a bit of a funny order.
Sometimes you just need to know you've achieved something. So you just do an easy thing. It's like clearing emails sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just clear the dross first so you can see the wood for the trees, even if it's not that important.
Yeah. And it's interesting, though, because people will tend to have their own preferences. So you will get people who want quick wins. That's the way their personality works. They'll get the quick things out of the way, and other people know I'll do the things going to take the time. I'll, you know, and then I can get all of that done at, you know, at the end of the day. So people are, you know, really different, actually. Mm. Yeah.
So how? Oh, sorry, Christina, you were about to dive in there.
Go on, you go.
Well, I was just going to move on because a lot of people, I mean, we're all engaged in this. You can tell everyone's kind of asking questions and commenting. And I'm a big fan of psychometric profiling. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important about getting to know yourself. I've done it in loads of businesses. Okay. But there are a lot of people who are cynical about it.
Yeah.
You know, so what are the business benefits of an exercise like this? So what's the benefit to Christina and to us as a team?
Well, I think I'm passionate about it. So I'm going to come from that point of view. One of the things that I would say, I deal with people sometimes, they were quite sceptical before they do the profile. And then they do the profile, they answer all the questions. And then when you give them their personal profile, they'll read it and literally think you followed them around for a month. Because it's giving them accurate information about how they tend to behave. So why I think it's beneficial as a business is, if you yourself can understand and accept 90% of what you see in front of you, you know, yes, they're my strengths, that's what I tend to do. And there's also pages in there about weaknesses and blind spots and those kind of things. Then you can look to work on that and adapt that to work better with other people. So what normally would happen within a business is, you'd look at yourself first. So the first day that I do with people is usually about finding out about yourself and understanding yourself. But then I think the important part comes where you look at the other team members and understanding about them. So instead of thinking that somebody is aloof, not interested, doesn't give any input, we'll start to understand that actually they're sat there thinking, analyzing, and will say something when they've got something useful to say. And then on the other flip side, instead of thinking, oh, they just come out, they're always talking, they just say what comes into their head, they'll start to think about, oh, well, actually that's how they think things through. They're trying to share information, trying to formulate their ideas. So I think understanding how other people's behavior comes across, you can then understand them better and then adapt and accept it, really, and just think and just understand there's no right or wrong way. You know, so that person who I send them emails and they never come back to me, well, that's because I don't put any facts in my email, maybe, or I don't give them time to come back to me. So it's just simple things like that. And then when you're working as a team, you can think, well, that person's fantastic with ideas. That person's better at making sure it's more practical. That person will make sure we do it on time. So it's pulling together the strengths then of the team to get better results. That's how it tends to happen.
I think it's I think it's interesting the fact that you were sort of saying about understanding other people, because I went on a course late last year, I think. And the woman at the beginning of the course said, oh, if you want to, she was like, I don't really want anybody to sort of make notes, but if you do want to sort of scribble things down or whatever, like, that's entirely up to you. If you want to doodle, like, that's absolutely fine. That won't come across as rude to me. But to me, see, I would have thought if I was giving a presentation and there was somebody there just sort of doodling, like looking at other things, I would automatically think either they're being rude, they weren't interested, or they were bored. But she obviously didn't think of it in that way. And she thought some people need to doodle or do something in order to focus.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important. And that sort of, even from that initial statement, I was kind of thinking it was quite an interesting thing to say. And it made me think I possibly need to be more understanding or try to be more understanding of people. And I know Christina has said to me in the past as well, when she's doing presentations and things, if people are on their phone or doing something, she automatically thinks that they're bored, but actually they could just be making notes about something that she's saying or sort of researching into like an app or something that she's mentioned. So I think it's, I would always jump to the conclusion, maybe that comes to the overthinking thing, maybe I am an overthinker, but I would always jump to the conclusion that they were bored of me, but maybe they're not.
Well, I think for me, typically, in, you know, just talking about behaviour generally, typically we all jump to conclusions. So you might jump to that conclusion, somebody else might jump to the conclusion that they're really that interested in what they're saying, they're writing it all down, or and somebody else might think, oh, they don't remember anything, that's why they've got to, you know. So some people see it positive and some will see it negative, but that's the point really. What I find with insights and doing the profiling is it just helps you to think about the different behaviours in a different way. So you start to think about it from their side of the world, not from yours. What does it look like from where they are, not from where you are?
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily about changing where you are, but thinking how they may be seeing it from where they are, what the world looks like to them, walking in their shoes, all those, you know, those kind of things, really.
Yeah.
And it's very powerful. You know, often, you know, we really get with some teams where people, they literally have thought that person is just not interested, they're not engaged, and actually no, they're just thinking about things, or, you know, that person, you know, they don't get things done on time. Well, actually, you didn't give them a deadline in the first place. You're not good at doing that. It's quite powerful.
So, obviously, I did the insights thing because I wanted to identify how I could improve as a leader, and, you know, how I could generally just show up better in the business for the team. And, you know, we haven't done it with the team yet, and it is something that, assuming you guys are comfortable with after this conversation, that you're going to buy into and we'll be able to do.
As long as we don't do it like this, which Paul has suggested.
No. Recommending, no.
But the other thing with this that I think is quite interesting, and it kind of comes back to a marketing perspective, and actually Paul's put a comment on, which I'll bring up on screen. So I think that using this information as well, when you're thinking about who your ideal client is, okay, I actually think, you know, when we think about ideal clients, when I'm trying to get that information out of someone, it's like, yes, I want the demographics, and yes, I want to know like how big or not their business is, and, you know, annual turnover is a handy stat to have, headcount is a handy stat to have, but actually we've still got to work with an individual. So understanding the drivers and the habits and behaviours of that person we want to attract is really, really important. And a lot of people are stabbing in the dark with it. Yeah. And they're kind of like looking at the guesswork. But I think if we understand how we are, then, you know, again, it kind of helps you to identify that client that, you know, maybe it's going to be a nice, you know, when you look at their annual spend, it's going to be a nice client on paper from the financial perspective, but they could be a disaster area for you. They could be an absolute nightmare because they're not that right fit.
Yeah.
But I think it's actually quite important from that perspective as well.
I think you're right there, Christina, because one of the things that I do with the insights profile that you can have as a standard or you can have as an add-on is a sales chapter. And the sales chapter gives you a good idea of your sales style. And when I say sales style, I'm talking about whether you're networking or you're on your Zoom meetings or you're actually pitching to them in emails or however, you know, however you're selling. So it gives you an idea of what your sales style is, but it also then gives you an idea of the weaknesses that can be in that and where you might need to adapt it for your client style. So just gathering information from clients. One of the sessions that I do as a follow-up is more about the words and the questioning and the way you're questioning your body language. So it's adapting to that client. And it could be, you know, if you're an organisation and you look at your client list and the clients that you're really successful with, you may well be able to identify, you know, the types of clients you work very well with. And it might be that you make a decision, well, actually, the clients who have a different profile, we're not going after, or we don't deal with, because it doesn't work, or you don't end up making money, or you don't end up closing the deal. And you can often know that quite soon, not quite soon. Mm-hmm. But one way that I've used it with, particularly with recruitment businesses, is getting sales consultants to look at their profile of their clients that they are successful with, and then thinking about how they can adapt their sales style to appeal to maybe clients who've got the opposite to them. So the clients who want all the information, the clients who want the evidence, or the clients who actually want that face-to-face meeting and that hug when they go in. So, and how they can identify what that client is without them actually doing a profile. So identifying the traits in them, really. Yeah. And it's really a powerful tool. But I think within a team, the main thing is just understanding each other. And it gives a great platform for you just to have a great discussion and just get to know each other better, really.
I think when I've used them before, and I'd be interested to know how it compares, though, because there's obviously a few different approaches. One, the profiling you're talking about sounds similar to Myers-Briggs profiling.
Okay.
So MBTI, and there's DISC profiling, which people Thomas International use. Yeah. I've had colors stuff. You hear about Big Five traits. So
Insights is based on colors, and it's similar. Okay. It's similar, but the psychology is the same. So it's the model that's different. But the psychology behind it's the same.
Yeah. I think they're a great tool. One of my always bugbear was they're a great tool in the right hands.
Yes.
In the wrong hands, they are. And again, Paul, who's watching, has made a good point about pigeonholing, which is so true. Because I think in the wrong hands, people will read that profile and go, "That's who they are," but that's all they're capable of, which is rubbish. It's just kind of saying that's my natural preference. It doesn't mean I can't do the other things. It just
absolutely
means
not. No.
Yeah, I consciously adapt to behave in a different way when I need to.
Yeah.
So absolutely. That's something I'm always kind of, that's not who you are. But I had really horrible, horrible experience with Myers-Briggs when I was in my early 20s, I think. And we did it in a very public environment, and I just kind of came away thinking, I don't even know why I've got any friends. I don't know why anybody would want to hang out with me. I'm just the most awful person. Wow. Honestly, like, being totally transparent, I cried for about 2 days afterwards. I didn't want to go back into the management meeting. Yeah. But then I faced a few demons, did it a few years later, and realised they'd kind of come up with the wrong profile for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether I was answering the questions in a, you know, trying to be a bit bravado with it, but I just think but the feedback was handled so badly, so whereas I think in the right hands it's much
for me better. For me, that's the key. I mean, one reason I've not talked about the colors today is simply because I'm not a fan, really, of the, I noticed Paul said about pigeonholing. I'm not a fan of the pigeonholing. It is all about, this is your tendency, you will tend to do this, you might do this, because there's always going to be something different going on where you may behave out of character from what you would normally do. And one of the things that I particularly like about the insights profiling that I use is I'm really key at the beginning to say you have all of those colour energies. They talk about colour energies. You just use them in different orders and different strengths. And as an example, my dominant colour tends to be yellow, and my least dominant is blue. However, I'm good at the number stuff. I'm good with the figures. You know, you don't survive in a recruitment business if you're not. And but it's about dialing them colours up, using them when you need to, and adapting them, and dialing my yellow down when, you know, if I'm with a client who I can see wants the facts and figures, then shut up and give them the information. But once you're aware of it, you can do that. But there's no right or wrong place. I don't know if I said that right at the beginning. I think every place on that wheel is a perfect place for the person who's in there. And then it's just about, when do I want to adapt? When don't I want to adapt? When's that going to benefit me to be that extrovert? When's it going to benefit me to shut up? That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I come from, the understanding yourself first, and before you start to adapt to others.
Yeah, I think it was quite interesting. So I went through all the questions, and then Susan sort of did the analysis and presented it to me. And it was kind of like a, it was almost like I wasn't allowed to see it until it was presented to me. So we then went through it together, and there'd be certain elements where, you know, I was defensive. You know, I was going, yeah, but that's not that. Yeah, I don't think that bit's right because blah, blah, blah. And like, we'd have that dialogue, and it was like, actually, it was right. It's just that I'm constantly compensating for that particular element. And so I say it was really, really interesting from that part of it. And I think I didn't have a negative experience because it was being given back to me in a sort of in a two-way conversation, basically. We could, so I really understood it. It wasn't just words on a bit of paper.
And I think as well, I mean, that is so key, Christina, and from your point of view as well, Amanda, you know, if when you're getting the feedback, if really more than a couple of percent, maybe 5%, you don't think is accurate, then maybe it has not been answered in the right way or not explained in the first place. And I definitely give people carte blanche to, if you read that sentence, you don't agree with it, maybe go and ask somebody who knows you quite well, because it could just be it's something you're not aware of. But if they agree with you, just cross it out. You know, that's it. It actually, at the end of the day, all your questions are thrown into this big computer that throws out. So yes, it is really accurate 90% of the time, 99% of the time, I'd say, but not always. You know, I found things in my profile and I thought, no, that's not right. You know, so one thing, somebody with my typical profile would love to have certificates on the wall, and, you know, if they've won something, they'll be telling everybody, I hate it. But my typical profile, I'd be going around showing everybody, I'd have it up, you know, in the office or on my living room wall. I'd never do that. So that's just an example from my point of view. Yeah, so, yeah, it's something that you've got to work with and get to understand yourself, really.
Fantastic. So I think this has been a really, really valuable session, certainly for us as a team. And, you know, it's, you know, the reason we started these live lunches were very much for our own benefit. And, you know, it was an opportunity to open ourselves up a little bit to the people that follow us. So thank you, Susan. I really appreciate your time today.
I really enjoyed it.
Obviously, if people are interested in what we've talked about today, they can come to you. I will pop your LinkedIn profile into the chat there, and people can connect with you. A lot of what we've talked about today is using the service that you offer as a team, but obviously, you know, people that are in businesses on their own, it's equally as valuable. You know, Paul mentioned about using information when you're networking, that kind of thing. And, you know, and again, I think from a marketing perspective, understanding who your ideal client is going to be is really, really valuable. Just remember that your ideal client isn't necessarily the client that's giving you the most money. And, you know, I think that's a really important lesson, and something like this can really help you to understand that ideal client and get more of them. So let's wrap it up there, unless anyone has anything extra to ask Susan.
Thank you.
It's been great chatting to you. I was like working with you anyway. So and thank you for inviting me today, Christina.
You're so welcome. Great. So welcome. Thanks, Susan. Right.
Okay.
Let's say goodbye. See you all next week, Thursday at 12. Everyone that's still here watching, thanks for tuning in. See you later.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.